So I am preaching from Romans 5, 12 through 21. This particular passage deals with sin and death on one hand, and it deals with life and peace on the other. Two huge contrasts. And the thing about sin and death is that it controls humanity like a master owner. Think of it as a master owner. You have a master, he owns slaves. This is how sin and death controls humanity. And sin and death became part of our existence in the beginning. Later in history, God gave a tool for recognizing sin's rule, something that shows its dominion, identifies its dominion. But later in history, God also gives the remedy. In Romans 5, we've been told that we have been declared righteous by faith. We don't declare ourselves righteous by our own doing. We take God declaring us righteous by faith. And so we have peace with God in this through our Lord Jesus Christ. And it explains that while we were helpless and ungodly sinners, God demonstrated his own love toward us, toward you, toward me, through Christ dying for us. And now we have been declared righteous by his blood. And 12:21 magnifies, and I'm going to start reading at verse 12, therefore, just as through one man sin entered into the world and death through sin. That one man is so key to everything. Makes everything make sense. And so death spread to all people because all sinned. For until the old covenant Mosaic law, sin was in the world, but sin is missing the mark. So sin is missing the mark is not counted as identified action when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam until Moses, even over those who did not sin like the transgression of Adam, who is a type of him who was to come, Jesus Christ. But the free gift is not like the transgression. For if by the transgression of the one the many died, much more did the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abound to the many. The gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned. For on the one hand, the judgment arose from one transgression resulting in condemnation. But on the other hand, the free gift arose from many transgressions, resulting in a verdict of being declared righteous. For if by the transgression of the one, death reigned through the one, much more those who receive the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. So then, as through one transgression there resulted condemnation to all people, so too, through the one righteous act came righteousness leading to life for all people. For as through the one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, even so through the obedience of the one the many will be made righteous. The old covenant Mosaic law came in so that the transgression would increase. But where sin increased, grace abounded all the more. So that as sin reigned in death, remember master owner, even so, grace would reign through righteousness to everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Prepare your heart for this sermon. Adam brought sin and death. Christ brought life by faith. Let's pray. Father, I ask that you continually bless us and build us up with this scripture that you have had preserved for us, layering out all of these deep truths for us to understand and that will build us up. We just ask that you would please do that in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, we look at this and we know that people sin and people die. Now, this fact is perplexing when you don't understand why. Now, there are fairy tale theories out there. They claim that life just popped into existence as a cell with a supercomputer of DNA in it, and then somehow it knew it needed to replicate itself in the seconds it existed before dying, while somehow programming itself to become intricately complex systems of life forms, you know, and that is a tale that explains nothing when it comes to life, sin, and death. Everyone knows we die, though. But the fairy tale of naturalistic survival has never resulted in continuous survival, can't explain death, can't explain life, can't explain sin. When it comes to sin, the fairy tale simply just denies that sin exists. It claims that good and bad are merely concepts, philosophies to be decided according to whatever the mood is in the moment. But God says sin exists. And the word for sin in Hebrew is to miss something. The word for sin in the Greek is to miss the mark. Sin is to miss the mark of God's standard of righteousness. And according to God, death is when life ceases. According to God, there is physical death and there is spiritual death. The Bible explains that this death was brought into the world by the first humans created to be humans. They had a design that was capable of everlasting life. That's how they were designed. But something happened. So I want to look closer at this fundamental reality. At the beginning, the first man's name's Adam. The first man brought sin and death into the world, into humanity, I should say. Adam gave humanity over to be ruled by the curse of sin and death. Sin and death now exists as a universal taskmaster. Think of sin and death as a master owner. Very important. Paul's going to go with this through chapter 6 all the way through chapter 8. Same language he's going to use. He's actually going to use master. And it owns humanity and controls humanity. So when we look from the bleachers of history, we see that the beginning had a good start for people, but then things went bad very quickly. And it started with the Creator, who is God, and God is good, and God decided to create life, and with life, He created people, humans. And Adam was the first human to experience this goodness. And we're told that God created Adam in His own image. And so Adam was also good. Life would be good as long as Adam did what the Creator said to do. God told Adam to rule over the homeland that God gave to him. The land was called the Garden of Eden. So Adam ruled there. God said that Adam could eat from any tree except from the one tree. It's called the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That's the rule. You do otherwise, that's bad. Don't eat from that tree. But he could eat from all the other trees. God told him that. That was a blessing. To eat from that other tree, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, is to miss the mark of God's standard of righteousness, to sin. And so from Adam, God created the first female named Eve, and she was good too. Genesis 1:27 says, both of them were created in the image of God in reflection of His goodness. Eve was made for Adam, the scripture says, and together they both ruled the garden under the rule of God. But Eve listened to an evil being who had already missed the mark of God's standard of righteousness. And that being thought that it could be like God, it was intelligent, it could talk, it was called the serpent, and he acted like an authority by telling Eve the same lie that he told himself. He said, you'll be like God. You know, God's not telling you the truth, the serpent was saying. He knows that when you eat from this tree, you're going to be just like him. Well, it didn't happen to the serpent, it didn't happen to Eve. She didn't become like God. She did believe the serpent, though. She ate from the forbidden tree, and she sinned. She rejected her true creator and master, God. There's reign, authority, master, ownership is all tied together with sin. And so she gave over her own rule to the serpent, to his sin, his unrighteousness, and his lies. So he acted like he reigned as an authority in the garden. She accepted it, and she submitted to him, and she kept on going and going and going in her sin, and that's what sin does. It just keeps on going, just keeps on going. And what she did is she gave the fruit of the forbidden tree to Adam, and he ate it when she told him to. And by doing so, Adam also decided not to rule in obedience to God's rule, and this meant that he chose to disobey the truth, which means he disobeyed righteousness. Adam obeyed Eve, submitting to her reign in her sin over him in pursuit of sin. They both obeyed sin. They both obeyed unrighteousness. They obeyed a lie. There's submission there, obedience. And so they allowed sin to enter their lives as a master owner. They became in bondage, just like a slave, in bondage to sin and death. And Adam and Eve lost important aspects of the image of God they were made in. Huge aspects. But God had warned Adam about the consequences of sin. Now, Adam should have corrected Eve for believing the lie. You know, treating God like he's the liar. But instead, Adam gave in to Eve's urging, and he rejected God's righteous reign as the perfect master that God is. The loving master, who blessed him with existence and the beautiful existence in the garden and the blessing to be able to eat whatever he wants. except for one thing. And what this did is this meant that Adam rejected God's warning that sinning would result in death, and it did. And it resulted in both physical death and spiritual death. Adam, in abdicating his ordained rule by rejecting the rule of God, that's what happens when we sin. Okay, he's the one God placed the blame upon for this curse. He didn't blame the serpent, didn't blame Eve. God put the blame on Adam. Big million-dollar theological term for this is Adam is called the federal head. You don't have to remember that. That's what he is. He is the one that has the blame for bringing sin and death into the world and bringing humanity into sold into bondage to sin as master. And so the wider consequence is that is through Adam, sin and death replaced God's reign in our hearts. And this result is that sin and death reign in humanity like a controlling boss. All people inherit sin and death somewhat like a spiritual disease. And it's part of us. I mean, it's part of our nature. God identifies it for us, and so we actually see it even more and more crystallized through his definition and our understanding through the Spirit. But we see that we have this attribute of missing the mark. People come into this world missing the mark. And manifesting it, people miss the mark in their thoughts and they miss it in their actions, permeates our existence. Back in Romans 3, 9 through 12, Paul explained that all are under sin. Sin dominates over everyone. It says no one's righteous, not one. And then through the next three chapters, like we're going to see, sin and unrighteousness is referred to as a master owner. And we know that it took ownership by invitation of the first people. And there's a wage that it pays. Physical, spiritual death, and this is what it means for all to be under. When the term is used here in the scriptures, that term, to be under sin, if you've ever wondered, what does that mean to be under sin? Under sin, it reigns over everyone while in them. And nobody is born without sin and death as master owner. Nobody. So the consequence is there. And while existing only in sin's reign, all people are dead spiritually. This is the legacy that was left to us. All people die physically. And although God recognizes Adam as being responsible for this infection, it doesn't let anyone off the hook. It doesn't let you off the hook. Nobody. In terms of the responsibility, in terms of the guilt, where it's everybody is responsible. Everybody is guilty. It does not eliminate condemnation and judgment. Follow what I'm saying, because in other words, there is something about our commonality with Adam that does not allow us to justify our sin by blaming it on him. We know that he brought it into the world, but we can't sin and say, oh, well, you know what? It's Adam's fault. You know, Adam tried that with Eve. Well, she gave me the fruit, God. No, Adam, it's your fault. And so this is the way it works. And the Holy Spirit's very clear on this by saying that through the one man's disobedience, one man, the many were made sinners. That's billions and billions and billions of people. That's a lot of manys. And so it's saying creation then at that time was remade in a sense. And that remaking is not good. It's a de-evolution. Condemnation is on all that is not good, see? And so judgment arose when sin arose. Judgment arose from that one transgression resulting in condemnation on everyone. Everything's not good anymore. God's good, but badness has entered in. And so you see, sin and death's reign when it comes to the desires of people left to their own natural inclinations. That is what you see happen everywhere. Sin comes in so many packages, seen in the desires to be as God and selfish ambitions. And so we see it. And we see death. We're born and we die. And what we need is a new, good, perfect creation. We need a recreation into God's goodness again. We need a good and perfect reign, a new, perfect, righteous master owner. We need him to purchase us out of the bondage to the cursed master. God knew this all along, and that is Jesus. And so this gets me to something else identifying this need. God made sure people recognize sin tangibly in operation to identify it as counted to them in actions. That is the main reason for identifying it. To understand it's being counted to you in action. God made sure that it's seen and it's identified so that when people do it, they know what the right thing to do is because they see what they're told by God, though not doing it anyway in sin. It's just like Adam with the tree. So again, putting our mind's eye back in history, God gave the Old Covenant Mosaic Law to the Israelites on Mount Sinai, kind of like God told Adam that he could eat from any tree except for this one tree. Well, God gives this Old Covenant Mosaic Law to Israelites, and the Old Covenant served many purposes, and one important one that God had for it is to identify the results and the reality of the reign of sin. And it pinpointed sin actions common to everyone. And when I mean everyone, I mean common to humanity. We're looking at a description of sin and death. And so that law served as an identifier of what has always been in all people's hearts reigning. Actions of sin were shown by disobeying that law. And those actions reveal the curse of the reign of sin and death inherited from Adam. And in apostolic insights given from God, we're told in verse 13 that until the old covenant Mosaic law came, sin was always in the world for generation after generation, but yet sin is missing the mark is not counted as an identified action personally when there's no law to identify those actions. So Romans 3:20 tells us that by the works of the old covenant law, nobody will be declared righteous in God's sight because through the old covenant law is the knowledge of sin. And so according to the demands of that law, anytime someone sinned, they would know it. There's knowledge there. Romans 4:15 tells us, God, this is the last chapter, chapter 4 before we came into chapter 5, tells us the old covenant Mosaic law brings wrath. But it says, where there is no law, there is no violation. So the knowledge of sin was announced, think about this, every time there was a violation. And so Paul tells us, sin is counted. Counted to you means sin is now exposed in the sense of being identified in various deeds. So we must get this straight. Sin was already imputed to all humanity through history, going down to Moses, going down to that law. But sin is counted to someone as identified personal action when, like Adam, they disregard the rule laid down by the reign of God and the comparison is seen and they do otherwise. The Mosaic law embodied such rules and they were from God to be obeyed. Like I said, there's over 300 of them. But the rules were never instituted for anyone to be made righteous by keeping them. The book of Romans never tells us that through the old covenant Mosaic law, people would have been made righteous. Romans 3:20 says that through the old covenant law is the knowledge of missing the mark. And the knowledge of the sin which dwells in all of us is the issue. So that law, which did not exist beforehand, came into existence on Mount Sinai. It was given to Moses. And the knowledge of sin obtained from it is the things counted as sin when people did them. James 4:17 explains, someone sins when they know the right thing to do, but don't do it. James 4:17. The Mosaic law came into history listing right things to do so they would become known, and respect to that knowledge, comprehensive awareness of sin becomes crystallized. And now we have it recorded. We have God's word, the scripture. And so think about these things and look back at Romans 4, the previous chapter again. And it explains that the old covenant Mosaic law brings about wrath, but where there is no law, there is also no violation of it. And then we see the depths of what God was doing. Putting all this revelation together, you realize that the violation of that law that God introduced to Moses at Mount Sinai demonstrates personal accountability of humanity. Not just Adam and Eve, but everybody that comes down from them, and that is the many. The many that we see in this passage. So we see the old covenant Mosaic law did not come so that transgressions would decrease. A lot of people thought that in all through history, even after getting the law. A lot of the people in Paul's day thought that. Paul thought that at one time. The old covenant Mosaic law would come in so that the transgressions would decrease. You say, how's that? Well, I see the rule in the law and it says don't do this, and so I'm going to look at that and I'm going to say, okay, I'm not going to do that. Unfortunately, it didn't take away the dominion of sin and death, the master ruler. And guess what? People would go ahead and they would sin anyway, even though it said not to. So it came in so the transgression would be seen, not decrease. Now, of course, it's a real law, and you're supposed to obey it. But that's the point. People are supposed to obey it, and they don't. But the Spirit gives more depth to all this in 5:20. It's completely counterintuitive to anyone trying to keep the Mosaic law for righteousness. And this is just, it is a mind-blowing revelation. And this is why I always use this phrase for us, and I hope you learn it. Apostolic revelation. New covenant, New Testament revelation. The Holy Spirit gave the apostles insights that teach us from a wonderful perspective. And it says, the old covenant Mosaic law came in so that the transgression would increase, not decrease, but it would actually increase. I mean, this is huge. The old covenant Mosaic law came in so that the transgression would increase. And that eye-opener makes sense to us only because we've been following the apostolic revelation of New Covenant, New Testament understanding. And so keep in mind that outcome. Let me read from the Amplified Bible. Really gets across this verse here and the outcome in an excellent way by putting it this way. Listen to this. But the law came to increase and expand the awareness of the trespass by defining and unmasking sin. Defining and unmasking sin. So always understand that the Old Covenant Mosaic Law made sure to bring people to see sin in themselves tangibly in operation, to witness and identify it as counted to them in actions. Can't argue with it. It's like Adam and Eve couldn't say, well, you know, God never told me I couldn't eat from that tree. Of course he did. So this law told God's covenant people the right things to do. And in that knowledge, by doing the wrong things, here's what sin says. Sin says, that's me. That's what sin is. And you have me in you to show that you are the one who willingly sins. You're the one. Don't blame it on Adam. Don't blame it on something else. You're it. And so master sin is exposed and identified as reigning in the hearts of humanity. And the reign of sin and death through the one man is bad news, but it leads to God's revealing of his plan all along. There was always a plan all the way back in the beginning. And that's what I want to get to now. God was never taken by surprise. He's never taken by surprise. And so through another man, there's one man and another man, people are given the gift of reign, the reign of grace. And so you get an amazing promise in this. Now, it's laid out in verse 17. And you got to follow Paul's thought here. When death is replaced by righteousness as your ruler, sin and death is replaced by righteousness as your ruler, then you will reign yourself. That's right. You will reign. It says you will reign in life through Christ Jesus. And so you get a great blessing. That's what salvation is, and a bigger blessing in the future resurrection. But the big focus is Christ Jesus always. 1 Corinthians 15:5 says that Jesus is the last Adam. So understand him that way. We've been talking about the first Adam so much in the sermon, right? Paul writes about the first Adam, first man. Jesus is called in 1 Corinthians 15:5, the last Adam who became a life-giving spirit. Okay, so the reign of the first Adam, the reign that he abdicated at the beginning, that does not compare to your reign through the last Adam who puts his life in you. And all this is part of his perfect work. And how do you get it? Through receiving and believing the gospel. You get peace with God through Jesus. You obtain your introduction, it says here, into this grace existence by faith. And so Paul points out that while you were helpless, while you were under bondage to sin, meaning when you were unsaved, God demonstrated his love toward you. And he sent the last Adam to willingly die for you as a sin sacrifice to reconcile you back to God. Through his blood sacrifice, he paid the ransom for you, buying you from the master owner, the dominion of sin and death. See, you are declared righteous by faith in him and his work. And a miracle happens in all this. Natural mind scoffs at it. But salvation truly is a supernatural work of God. Amen. He makes you into a new creation of a new race of people. The Bible calls a holy race, set apart race. And so God had Jesus, the last Adam, enter into the world to remedy the curse that Adam brought into the world. There is a purposeful connection for the remedy for the problem being patterned, much like, you know, the entrance of it. It's called typology. There's a pattern. You know, you have the federal head, you have Adam, and then you have the head, which is Christ Jesus, the Redeemer, the last Adam. And so Adam sold us into slavery, into this cursed reign of sin and death. Jesus frees us to become blessed slaves of master and owner righteousness. Adam brought the bad into the world by transgression of eating from the forbidden tree. Through one of that act of disobedience, Adam sacrificed all humanity to fulfill his selfishness. In God's plan, the last Adam offers the free grace gift by willingly going to be hung on a tree through his sacrifice, and it's a sacrifice for all of humanity. You know, in the complete contrast to the first Adam, Christ Jesus' work for you is an intentional expression of God's amazing love through his own planned sacrifice of his son. That is the polar opposite of what Adam did in personally oriented self-love. And that's what sin is. Sin came from Adam's one transgression. When we do it, we are manifesting self-love. But God's free gift arose from many transgressions, the scripture says. Many transgressions. That's an interesting statement. There's more than one way to look at that. God's free gift arose from many transgressions. Well, one way to look at it is that many transgressions came from generation of people, not just one person like Adam. And multitudes of sinners exist in Adam, so to speak. Think of Adam as in him, genetically, the body of Adam, universally. Multitudes of sinners exist in him. But then at another level, the free gift arose from many transgressions, you can think of it, against Christ himself. He was rejected and he was delivered up to be crucified. So unlike one man's one act bringing the curse, the many actions of many resulted into the ultimate blessing of the free gift. And here's the verdict. It's like all who are declared to be in sin. Well, all in Christ are declared righteous by grace through faith through all of that operation that occurred through him, the last Adam, through the love, through the grace. And so Adam's transgression, the first Adam, gave you this reign of death through himself. And you can call it, like I was saying, like the body of Adam, the universal body of Adam. We're all part of it. In a certain sense, that is like a description of humanity. Acts 17:26, Paul said that God made from one man every nation of humanity to live on all the face of the earth. We're all related. We're all connected in the ethnos. And so you can think of the human race and him like being in the spiritually dead body of Adam. But now, all who receive and believe God's gospel of grace in Christ are part of the body of Christ, the body of the last Adam, the life-giving spirit, Jesus. Amen? And that's what this whole section is about, showing us how it came into the world and showing us how it's taken away and showing us that when it's taken away, we are free and we are now, we serve the Lord and we are slaves of righteousness and we will reign. That is the guarantee. Praise the Lord. So recapping it all, we've been looking at the inheritance from Adam. Great inheritance. He brought sin and death. It's a ruling thing. Humanity is owner and controller. But Christ Jesus brought life by faith. And we saw that God gave the old covenant Mosaic law for people to see sin's rule in themselves, to identify it, to understand it, to know that. And the pattern is that one man brought us into bondage to sin and death. So we see the accounting take place, and we see who is responsible originally, and we see that we are also responsible. And then we see that after that one man brings the gift of righteousness, life, and the reign of grace.